There is one church father named Augustine of Hippo, who lived from 345 to 430, who preached about the Jews as well. But his position seems to become eventually, certainly in the Middle Ages, certainly up to the Crusade period at the very least, the dominant position of the church. And that position is really what I need to articulate before we close this lecture, because Augustinian tolerance, quote unquote, seems to have won the day in the long run. What is Augustine's position? That the Jews have been decreed a life of misery for their rejection of Christ. Their pariah status was meant to offer testimony to their rejection and the election of the church. Now, of course, that's not so good, right? Pariah status and so on. But living miserably means not to be physically harassed or forced to convert. Only Jesus, in the end of days, will remove their blinders and will allow them to embrace the Christian church and the truths of Christianity. Now, that exactly, to call that tolerance may be an overstatement for some. That is not exactly, but what I want to underscore here is the positive elements in this formulation. That is that while Jews are to be isolated and subservient to Christians, nevertheless, in terms of their physical presence, they are not to be assaulted. They are not to be harmed. It is against Catholic law to harass the Jews and to physically brutalize them. Moreover, and here's the most important thing, no one can force them to convert. They are witnesses to Christ. They are scattered around the world. They are the pariahs. We look at them and we feel better about ourselves. That is their function within the economy of Christian space. That's what they're supposed to do. We look at them, but nevertheless, we have no right to touch them. We have no right to remove their blinders. Their blinders remain. Only the supernatural intervention of God Himself will have them see the light of day, and then they will approach the baptismal font. In other words, ultimately, they will be converted, but it is not in our power to convert. Now, you may say, you know, cynically, that's not such a great position. On the other hand, it does argue for a sense of leaving the Jews to do their own things. In other words, as long as they're silent, they're not visible, they're not running around the whole place, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, we will leave them alone. Let me just quote a line or two, and then we will bring this to a close. The church admits and avows the Jewish people to be cursed because after killing Christ, they continue to till the ground of an earthly circumcision, an earthly Sabbath, an earthly Passover, when the hidden strength or virtue of making known Christ, which the tilling contains, is not yielded to the Jews while they continue in impiety and unbelief, for it is revealed in the New Testament. While they will not turn to God, the veil which is on their minds in reading the Old Testament is not taken away. The veil is taken away only by Christ. And here is the end of this homily. That is, it is not as thou sayest, not by bodily death shall the ungodly race of carnal Jews perish. For whoever destroys them in this way shall suffer sevenfold vengeance. That is, shall bring upon himself the sevenfold penalty upon which the Jews lie for the crucifixion of Christ. So to the end of the 7 days of time, the continued preservation of the Jews will be a proof to believing Christians of the subjection merited by those who, in the pride of their kingdom, put the Jews to death. In other words, ultimately, the Jews are to live out their lives and to be preserved. In that sense, there is hostility, there is strong, aggressive language, but in terms of social policy, in terms of the social reality, at least prior to the Crusades, the Jews were left alone to live under their own devices, under their own communal structures.